Good morning, everybody. If you would, get your Bibles out with me, and let's go to the book of Acts this morning. We're going to go to Acts chapter number 10, and let's have a prayer over God's word. Father, we thank you, God, just for another beautiful Sunday to just be in attendance here in your house. God, I thank you for all of my church family, any guests that may have joined us here in this early service. And I thank you, God, for just the sweet presence, God, that is here today. I thank you, Father God, for the work that's already been done in our lives. God, I'm a firm believer that the worship, God, has been received by you. And God, in our hearts, God, it's just preparing the way for what you're going to speak to us through your word. Yes, Father, I ask that you'll anoint me, God. But Father, not just me. I pray that there's an anointing in the atmosphere. There's an anointing upon each and every person that is here, that our ears are opened. Father, Lord, that our heart, God, is fertile, ready to receive, God, that which you're going to speak into us. God, as we continue on our thought of outpouring, we believe, God, we believe in the name of Jesus. We are in a day and an hour where the church, Father, Lord, has to be desperate, God, for you to move in such a way. So, God, we come today. We come, Father, Lord, just with hearts that are ready. So, God, I pray in all of us, speak to us, in all of us, challenge us, in all of us, God, may that flame inside of us, God, may that be stirred up. I pray today, God, Father, Lord, have your way in this time. God, lead us into just a powerful time of prayer. We love you, we thank you, and together we say in Jesus' name, amen, amen. Well, this morning we continue on with our series Outpouring, and this is week number 3. If you haven't had the opportunity to be here in service, or perhaps you haven't got to listen to the messages yet, I encourage you to go to the podcast or go online to our website, agcuita.com, and you can listen to all the messages there, just so you can kind of see the continuity of what God is doing through his spoken word. We know this series is about capturing the heart of God and his desire to pour out his spirit upon the church today. I hope that as each week has passed, that hunger inside of you has continued to grow as you seek the Lord with me for what he wants to do at Coweta Assembly of God. We know the theme of God wanting to pour out his spirit upon his people. It is rich. It is rich throughout Scripture. We can go to Isaiah. You can go to Ezekiel and a few places in both of those books. You can go to Joel where the prophecy was given of how the Holy Spirit would be poured out. Then you can go over to Acts chapter 2, and that's where you begin to see that prophecy being fulfilled. You can go all the way through the book of Acts, which we will see today on how the Holy Spirit was continually being poured out upon the church, and God was moving in just a mighty way. We can go to Titus, and we can talk about how the Spirit was poured out upon us through the generosity of Jesus Christ. In other words, it was given to us in generous proportions, in generous measure, more than we would ever need. When I think about what God can do for us in our lives, he's more than enough and then some, because he just continues to pour into us. And I'm thankful for the way that God has such a passion for us to receive us his spirit. So today, as we get ready to get into our text, I would say to you, you know, salvation for the lost souls, restoration for those who are broken within our church, a healing for the hurting, peace for those overwhelmed with anxiety, and spiritual renewal for every believer. I pray that that's the type of outpouring that God brings upon our church. Amen? Well, this morning, I want us to flip on over. You're already there with me. New Testament, Acts chapter 10. What we'll see here is that this book, and many of you know this, it records the church moving just full steam ahead as they experience this continual flow of the Holy Spirit. As we go to chapter 10, what we find here is that the disciples and the church, they have been ministering very boldly, courageously, unapologetically, passionately, and they've been very effective as many lives are being changed as they are being empowered by the Holy Spirit along the way. We also know when we read in the book of Acts that we can see this is where persecution of the believers, it's ramping up against them. But the more it does so, the broader and faster the reach of the Spirit-empowered church. And you will find that very common. Even though it's tough to read at times, and even if you study history to see how they treated Christians, to see how they were persecuted, I'm not just talking about name-calling. I'm not just talking about calling each other out from across the aisle. I'm talking about where people were put on stakes and their bodies were lit up as torches so, you know, the rulers could, you know, have their past lit up and really make this statement, you know, of power and authority. We're talking about grotesque persecution. persecution that had come against the church, causing them to have, you know, all of this anxiety within them. But at the same time, the Holy Spirit said, no, I'm not going to let my church be defeated. And as they spread out to find peace, to find safety, to find some type of security, the gospel went with them. The power of God went with them. And God used what Satan was trying to mean for destruction of the church. And he turned it into a mighty revival within the land and in the region. And as the gospel began to spread. So we see this happening. So thousands are being saved, being baptized with water baptized, being filled with the Holy Spirit. God is sincerely taking the church to the next level. Here what we find is one of their lead ministers, which is Peter, is about to get a lesson in how God shows no favoritism among the people, that salvation is for every single individual, that regardless of your ethnicity or background or whatever label we want to put on it, that we're all on the same field, you know, the same level, how God loves us. He's saying salvation is for all, as well as the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to read of this encounter that Peter has with this Roman officer, Cornelius. And this is one of my, and I, Michelle asked when I say this, but this really is one of my favorite passages. I love the character of Cornelius, and you will see as we go forward. I'm not going to read all of it, but I'm going to read most of it because I prayed and kind of went back and forth. And I said, well, I'll paraphrase it a little bit, but I just know there's going to be individuals here today, and this is going to be the first time they've heard this story. And so for those of us that it's multiple times, that's okay. Let's go there together. Acts chapter 10, verse number 1. It says at Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort, a devout man who feared God with all of his household. He gave alms generously to the people. It means he was very benevolent. He gave to the poor. He gave to the less fortunate. And he prayed continually to God. And about the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God come in and say to him, Cornelius. And he stared at him in terror and he said, what is it, Lord? And he said to him, your prayers and your alms, they have ascended as a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and bring one Simon who is called Peter. He is lodging with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. When the angel who spoke to him had departed, he called two of his servants and a devout soldier from among those who attended him personally, and having related everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. The next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up to the housetop about the sixth hour to pray, and he became hungry and wanted something to eat. But while they were preparing it, he fell into this trance, and he saw the heavens open and something like a great sheet descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. In it were all kinds of animals, reptiles, and birds of the air. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, by no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or considered unclean. And the voice came to him again a second time, what God has made clean, do not call common. This happened three times, and the thing was taken up at once to heaven. So here you can see this New Testament relationship with Jesus Christ, this saving grace. We're laying aside legalism. We're laying aside anything that you can do to be worthy enough to come before the Lord. We're laying aside this and we're showing that, hey, Jesus Christ, salvation, the power of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, this outpouring, it is for all. And so Peter's getting this in this vision. Verse 17, now while Peter was inwardly perplexed as to what the vision that he had seen might mean, behold, the men who were sent by Cornelius, having made inquiry for Simon's house, they stood at the gate and called out to ask whether Simon, who was called Peter, was lodging there. And while Peter was pondering the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are looking for you. Rise and go down and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them. And Peter went down to the men and he said, I am the one you are looking for. What is the reason of your coming? And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man who is well spoken of the whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and to hear what you have to say. So he invited them in to be his guest. The next day he rose and he went away with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa, they accompanied him. And on the following day they entered Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them, and he had called together his relatives and his close friends. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him, fell down on his feet, and he began to worship him. But Peter lifted up, saying, "Stand up, I too am just a man." And as he talked with him, he went in and he found many persons gathered. And he said to them, "You yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew, myself, to associate with or to visit anyone of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any person common or anyone unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without objection, and I asked then why you sent for me." So Cornelius, he says, "4 days ago about this hour, I was praying in my house at the 9th hour, and behold, a man stood before me in the bright clothing, and he said, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard. Your alms have been remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa, ask for Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging in the house, Simon, a tanner, by the sea.'" Verse 33, "So I sent for you at once, and you have been kind enough to come. Now therefore, we are all here. We are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord." Now, I'll let you read this next section for yourself, but it's pretty much Jesus presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ and glorifying God. And he's just presenting the word to them. So he's speaking to Cornelius, to his household, to his relatives, to his close friends. They have all gathered together there, and there is the presence of the Lord, and Peter's bringing the word. And in verse 44, "While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word, and the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter, they were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit was even being poured out upon the Gentiles. The evidence, verse 46, for they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, 'Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?' So he commanded they all be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain for some days." Probably what a beautiful fellowship that was, as there was an awesome outpouring that was taking place. Just for a few moments here, and I pray that this word really stirs us to a time of prayer. For a few moments, I want to look at some of the key elements that we see happening in the life of Cornelius and in his home as they received an outpouring of God's Spirit upon them. Now, I'm really going to focus on Cornelius, but I don't want you to forget the fact that in all of this, Peter had to be doing the same. Peter had to be praying. He had to be obedient. He had to be sensitive. He had to be listening to the Holy Spirit. Because while God was doing a work in Cornelius, God was doing a work in Peter. And it took both sides coming together under the anointing and the power and the leading of the Holy Spirit to bring this moment to pass that you and I just read about. It took both the congregation and the speaker to come together and say, "Okay, we're ready for what God has for us." It took each one to say, "What is God speaking to us? How is he stirring our hearts? What does he have for us next?" And that's what you see happening here. But what are some of those key elements that I see here in Scripture in the life of Cornelius and those around him? And I'm going to give them to you kind of all at once. We'll look at them together here. And the first one is this. In verse number 2, he had a very devoted heart to God. The second thing, he had a genuine reverence. His fear, his terror was that holy reverence, that holy awe for God. 3, he has a united household. Did you catch that in verse number 2? I mean, in verse number 2, there's 5 things that I see here. Devoted heart, genuine reverence, a united household. He was a generous giver. He gave to those in need. He took what had been given to him, and he was able to help others. Yes, he was taken care of. His family was taken care of. We believe, as we see this, he is a very wealthy individual, so he is certainly not without, but he is taking care of those around him and being led by the Spirit in doing so. Number 5, he was a man of prayer. Just continual prayer. Each and every day, he went to the Lord in prayer. He sought his face. spent time with him, communicated with him, presented his needs, also allowed himself to hear what the Holy Spirit was speaking in his life. How do we know that? Because we get to verse number 6 and we see that he had a clear vision before him. Can I tell you that clear vision came because he was a man of prayer. And because he did that on a regular basis, he was able to quickly to understand and know what was happening. This just wasn't any dream. This was a vision that had been given to him by the Spirit of God that was upon him. Number 7. Giving of his best. How do I get that? When we go back to the scripture, it says, when the angel who spoke to him had departed, he called two of his servants, but also a devout soldier who was one of his personal attendants. So he didn't just send anybody to go get Peter. He sent the best that he had. He sent those that took care of him to bring Peter into his home. Number 8, we see that Spirit-led obedience. You see that all over this entire text. You see it in Peter. You see it in Cornelius. You see it in those who were invited to his home. You see it in the men that went to take him. Just all through this, you can see just some incredible Spirit-led obedience as they acted without hesitation in doing what God had directed them to do. Number 9, you see this expectation while waiting. I love in verse number 24, it says, and on the following day they entered Caesarea, and it states, Cornelius was expecting them. So he had already sent them. So he didn't have in his mind that Peter might not come, that this might not unfold. He already had in his mind, this is going to be a pretty awesome moment. He doesn't, completely perhaps understand what's about to unfold, but he knows that Peter is coming. He knows that Peter's coming with the word of God. So I love what he does here. Not just those in his immediate household, but he gets his relatives. He gets his close friends. He says, hey, this is going to be a pretty special day, and I want you all to come, and I want you to be a part of this. And so he comes with an expectation. Man, I read that. I'm like, God, would the church have the same expectation today? Could we come to church with the same expectation? Could we open up each and every day as we wake up in our homes and say, God, this is a day in which you are going to move and I'm going to follow you. I mean, that's going to do something. Amen. Amen. So you see that happening. And number 10 I would give you is just this courageous humility. And that is just for him to have him come into his home. Because yes, at this time, and especially with the persecution that has greatly spread, with the stoning of Stephen that has taken place, the church is being spread throughout the region. They're not supposed to be together in the same vicinity. There's a lot of hostility between them, and he brings them into his home. But then you see that just humility, how he comes, and not, I don't believe, worship him as he was the Lord, but he showed a great reverence and respect for Peter, the disciple, who was one of the lead ministers of the church. It's a pretty powerful moment. Church, you look at those 10 things and you say, you know what? That's a pretty good list that I'd like to have in my life. Each one of these elements was significant of Cornelius and his household receiving the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit. I present this not to be seen as an equation. I don't want this to be an equation today where we have to do all 10 of these things in perfect order in order to receive an outpouring. But I present these to show you the spiritual atmosphere that was being cultivated in the home and in the community of Cornelius and his friends. I want you to see this of what was taking place, the importance of all of these elements, how it really changed the atmosphere of his home. You see, this outpouring was not by random chance. This outpouring was not because of Peter's great speaking abilities. This outpouring was not because Cornelius had much authority. This outpouring was because Cornelius had cultivated a strong and positive spiritual atmosphere that drove a hunger for him, his household, and his friends to desire all that God had for them. You see, there was already this incredible presence of God among them, but there was this desire to experience more of what God had for them. And how God had set up this meeting and how the Jewish disciple, Peter, the man who had been filled and empowered with God's Spirit, they wanted this. They wanted to know God more. They wanted to know Jesus and the resurrected Savior. They wanted to be a part of the move that God was doing in the people's lives around them. They wanted to be a part of that great move that was taking place in the region. You see, church, the cultivated atmosphere was significant in Cornelius, his household, his close friends, in being in position to receive such an important and empowering outpouring of God's Holy Spirit. And because they did so, not only did they receive, but because of this, thousands and thousands and thousands. We're going to go ahead and just say it into the millions. Because this was the moment when Peter and the church began to recognize that what Jesus was doing was not just for the Jewish people, but it was for all people. Everywhere, in every nation, on every continent. As you continue to read in Acts, you will see Peter goes back to the church and he gives this report. You'll also see Peter still, this is a change in him, and he has to wrestle with this because he's so indoctrinated that he's not supposed to speak to the Gentiles. But the Apostle Paul comes along, and them two kind of have a discussion, and there's a little bit of correction taking place, and they continue on to see how, you know what, this is for everybody. This outpouring is for everybody. And this moment right here, this was one of the key moments that sparked that great revival. That's pretty awesome. Now, this morning, as we get ready to go into prayer, I pray that today is not just another day where we kind of go through the motion. I pray that that's never the fact, but I think sometimes we don't mean to, but we do. But today's a day where we can look at this passage and we can be inspired, we can be motivated, and really incredibly encouraged to act in the same manner. Again, those 10 things, I think if you take it and you try to make some equation out of it and say, okay, if I do this and I do this and I do this, and I think good things will probably come from that. But that's not what God's looking for. What he's looking for is that you, are you cultivating an atmosphere amongst yourself and amongst your home where there can be an outpouring of God's Holy Spirit? Is there a presence of God in your life? Is there a presence of God in your home? Is there a presence of God when you join with God's people here in his house? Did you catch that in scripture? They'd all gather together. And I love the way that Cornelius addresses Peter when Peter said, why have you brought me here? Well, we're all gathered to hear in God's presence. Such a desire and a hunger for what God wanted to do. And with that, we see a great move of God. So church, here's one of the reasons why I love this passage. Because it proves to you and I how everyone involved was an important piece of that outpouring taking place. From Peter, the disciple. He would be the big-time evangelist coming to the church. You know, maybe someone would look at it like that. Then you see Cornelius's. That's the church that's just hungry, you know. You got all these servants, you know, and all these individuals that are being obedient to do what's been asked of them. It took all of them. From the two servants of the household to the devout soldier that was his personal attendant, to all of them come together and saying, we're ready. And I love the fact that while Peter was giving the word, the Holy Spirit just fell. It just fell because God said, it is time. It is time. It is time. Now that specific moment was to show Peter what God wanted to do. And I believe God still wants to pour out his Spirit upon his people. The question is, I have no doubt when I read his word that God wants to pour out his Spirit. I have no doubt when I read, when I pray, when I come and I walk and circle the sanctuary, I have no doubt that God wants to pour out his Spirit. It's not that we're having to say, come on, God, come on, God, come on. God, when are you going to wake up and pour out your Spirit? That is the wrong attitude to have, right? That's a little bit of spiritual arrogance, actually. Because God is ready to pour out his Spirit. So I have no doubt through his word, the word that you're sitting there holding, when you pray and what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life, God wants to do something in a mighty and incredible way. So the question is, for the individual that is sitting in these nice, comfortable seats, when they hear that word, not Pastor Steve, but when they hear the word of God and they sense the Holy Spirit moving, question is, what is that heart sitting in that seat really desiring more than anything? Because if you're desiring an outpour of God, you'll move towards him.